بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحظ رضاه الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداع ولا لأغليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت قدمته لتكون، والذي لا تغاري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية الفتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لساخة واللحمة الدائمة على أعدائهم المحيط من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام التوحيد. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: من كان من شيعتنا عالما بشريعتنا فأخرج ضعفاء شيعتنا من ظلمة جهلهم إلى نور العلم الذي حضرناه به، جاء يوم القيامة على رأسه تاج من نور يضيء لأهل جميع تلك العرصات. صلوات. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam is talking about the signs, and one of the signs of the Shia and the true followers. And he says, whoever amongst our Shias is knowledgeable, he has the ilm about our Sharia. And وأخرج ضعفاء شيعتنا, and he takes out the weak followers of ours. من ظلمة جهلهم, someone who is drowned in the darkness of ظلمة and جهل, and the ظلمة and darkness of جهل is a weak person. His soul is not strong. The soul of a person becomes strong with the knowledge of Quran and the faith and taqwa. Practicing their knowledge. This is how the soul of a person becomes strong. Anyone who has less knowledge is a weak person. Anyone who has less taqwa is a weak person. Whoever takes our weak shears out from the darkness of their ignorance towards the nur of knowledge, الذي حقوناه به, the knowledge that we have gifted back to him, جاء يوم القيامة على رأسه تاج, he will come on the day of judgment with a crown on his head, a crown of new, of divine light, يضيء لأهل جميع تلك العرصات, that will be glittering for all the people in those fields. So all the people who are gathered in the fields of the Day of Judgment will be seeing the glitter and shine of this person's crown emitting the nur of Allah. So this is the job of a follower. The job of the state جاهل. You cannot stay ignorant. We will strive to increase in the ilm, knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Another hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Shi'atuna Ahlul Huda wa Ahlul Tuqa wa Ahlul Khair wa Ahlul Iman wa Ahlul Fath wa Wafa. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, our true followers are the ones who have the guidance. You cannot find a true follower of Ahlul Bayt who is misguided. It's not going to work like this. A true follower can never be deceived. No one can fool around and deceive a true follower of Ahlul Bayt. A true follower of Ahlul Bayt is not silly that anybody can, you know, deceive him and walk away. Al-Mu'minu has qiyasa, right? So he has the intelligence and smartness and awareness and insight into the affairs. He cannot be deceived by the people. He has the real guidance. Shi'atuna, Ahlul Huda, wa Ahlul Tuqa. And those who have the taqwa, i.e., or Ahlul Khair. Those who perform the nice deeds towards Allah, khairat. All that Allah considers to be khair and goodness. They will take a lead on our, they will be performing those things. They will be proud over doing those things. They are the ones who perform the khair and good deeds. Wa Ahlul Iman, and they are the ones who have Iman and faith. Iman is unshakable belief. Unshakable belief is called Iman. If my belief can be shaken by any blowing of the wind, anyone can come up and say a few things and my Iman can be shaken up, then I'm not a mu'min, because this is against the ta'rif and definition of Iman. My teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amri Hafizahullah was saying the ta'rif of Iman is ja'lul mu'taqid bil'am. This is why we call it Iman. So you place your mu'taqid, your belief, in a secure place. Is that what your Iman is? That means you lose your job, you get the job, my son dies, my son gets ill, whatever happens to me, whatever happens, my Iman will always be secure. Doesn't matter what is the happenings in my surroundings. There is no impact. Nothing can impact and move my belief. If that's the kind of belief I have, then this is called Iman. If I can be shaken away by every thing that can happen around me, can move me, can change me, can impact me, can, you know, change my course of life, then that doesn't mean that I have any Iman. It's not called Iman. Yeah? So this is the Shias of Ahlul Bayt are Ahlul Iman. But Ahlul Fath wa Zafar, obviously, they are the ones who are victorious. They are the ones having victory and success, victory. So the Holy Quran, when you look at the Holy Quran about the reasons why a human is considered valuable in the eyes of Allah, what are the things mentioned in the Quran that gives a value to the human? Is it our strong body? We can lift a heavier weight. So we are a bigger person, we are more honorable in the eyes of Allah because I can lift a bigger weight. The values of a mu'min depends on his ma'naviyat, how much metaphysical blessings that he has. Ma'navi blessings. This gives the value to the soul. So Quran says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, those who have the knowledge and those who don't have it, are they equal? Allah is shaking the dhamir, the conscience of the humans. This is a shaking, stirring up our conscience. We start thinking and we adapt ourselves according to the khat and manhaj of Quran. we follow the manhaj and maslak and khat and course of action of Quran. We adjust our behaviors and we consider those things that Allah considers to be a superiority. We consider those things to be a value for us. Likewise, Allah says in Quran, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say, the khabith, the evildoer, khabith and tayyib, the pure, cannot be equal. Allah is again speaking about dhamir and conscience. So we wake up. It should not happen in our life that we give value to the jahil people. It should not happen in our life that we give value to those who have khubsun batini, inner sabasat in their soul, and we are giving value to them. That means we are jahil to Quran, because Allah does not give value to them. So someone who has taharat in the qalb and someone who doesn't have taharat in the qalb, they both cannot be the same. Again, another verse of Holy Quran says, "Qul la yastawi al-ahya'u wal amwat." Say, those who are alive and those who are dead are not equal, right? Some people are alive in the eyes of Allah, and some people are dead. Some people are really living deads. They may be living and walking and talking around us, but they are worse than animals. They are like cattle. Instead, they are worse, more misguided. So some people are alive, some people are dead. Both are not the same. And it's an attribute of a dead person. No matter how much you teach him, hey, don't do that, do this. He's not going to listen because he's dead, right? Hayyat. Some of the living people are behaving like they are hayyat and dead towards Allah. 124,000 anbiya came, 12 imams came, books and suhuf have been set by Allah. Quran has been revealed, the final sharia has been set. They don't care. They do what they like. This is like a behaving like dead person towards Allah. Quran says, "Wama yastawi al-a'ma wal-basir." The blind and the one who has his sight are not equal. The blind and the one who has his eyesight are not equal. The real eyesight actually is not about the eyes, the physical vision. The real eyesight in the eyes of Quran is actually from the qalb. إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ لَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Right? Quran says it's not the eyes that become the eye. إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. It's not the eyes that become blind, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ. The souls of the people become blind. الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. So a person who is blind can still, with his eyesight, can still go to the paradise forever, right? The person who is blind in this at soul, at heart, never, you know, even get closer to the paradise. Likewise, Quran shakes our conscience and teaches us, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. That's another shaking of the conscience of us humans. Where are we going? Whom we consider good in our life, and whom we consider bad in our life. Quran says, Allah says, those who belong to the hell and those who belong to Jannah are not equal. There's only justice and fairness. Allah is adil. Allah shakes our conscience once more and says, لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good deed and bad deed are not equal. But look at how many ways Allah has been taking our conscience, so we end up realizing the right from the wrong, the batil from the haq. asset is void of demand, it's not the same. You cannot treat the passive and the moment in the same way. If you treat the passive and the moment in the same way, we are not arguing. There has to be a distinction. The way you meet with a passive person in your life, you are smiling in the same way, the way you smile in the face of a moment. You are not arguing. Because Allah doesn't consider them to be same. Why are you considering yourself them to be same? Your policy is not the Quranic policy. It shows the jahl of the person. Either jahlun ilmi or jahalatun amali. Only two possibilities. Either person is ignorant, academically speaking, about what Allah taught us, he didn't know the policy, or even after knowing, he's practicing something else. This is called jahala. There's a difference in Arabic between jahl and jahala. Jahala means, knowingly doing the wrong stuff. It's not that you're jahil. You have jahala. You knew what is right, but you're still going towards the wrong. This is called jahala. So, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shakes our conscience and tamir and says, لَا يَسْتَفِقْقَعِدُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْغَيْرِ وَلِلْقَرَرِ وَالْمُجَهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So those people who are qa'id, sitting, غَيْرِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنَ غَيْرِ وَلِلْقَرَرِ, other than those who have qarar, those people who are, have justifiable excuse, so they cannot go out for mujahadat and mubaraza and do the fariba. That's okay because they have a justifiable excuse. But those who don't have a justifiable excuse, but they are staying home and sitting, those and the mujahideen in the path of Allah are not the same. This Allah is again shaking our conscience. So we distinguish between various people around us. What is the difference between haq and batil? And Allah also says, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْبَحْرَانِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ سَائِغٌ شَرَابُهُ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. The two types of water which Allah has mentioned in this ayat of Quran, one is sweet, shirin, drinkable, and the other one is bitter, salty. Those two types of water are not the same. So look at how Allah has defined the differences between the two, which are such nice and beautiful and easy to understand examples. Even an ignorant, ignoring person living in deserts can understand these examples and straighten his behavior. So now coming to the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen from the Quran, let's go to the hadith. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, talking, he says salawat. Talking about the value of a person. So what gives the value to us? What brings the value for us in the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen says, قِيمَةُ كُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا يُحْسِنُهُ. The price of every man is what makes him good. In the tafsir, our scholar says that Imam Ali al-Salam means knowledge. How much knowledge? Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam in his hadith says, أكثر الناس قيمة أكثرهم علم. In the hadith of our sixth Imam, the one who has the highest value is the one who has the most knowledge. أكثر الناس قيمة أكثرهم علم. وأقل الناس قيمة أقلهم علم. And the lowest of the people in terms of the value, in terms of value, is the one who is lowest in terms of knowledge. So how much knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt do we have? That's the key question to determine our قيمة and value in the eyes of أهل البيت. We all want to become مقرب to Rasulullah and أهل البيت, right? We want to be مقرب, متقرب إلى الله. Everything we do, قربة إلى الله. We want to get their closeness. How we get close to them? What if we are valuable, we will become close. So what makes us closer to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, knowledge is condemned in the Holy Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Bani Israel, Allah gives them the example that their example is like a donkey. Right? So they are those people who have been given Torah. Their example is that of the donkey, which carries loads. You put, no matter how much books you put on the back of a donkey, it doesn't know what's going on inside the books, what the books are talking about. He has no clue, right? He's not learning from the contents of the book, he's just carrying the load. This kind of knowledge is of those people who have been given Torah and they did not obey. There were few people who obeyed Prophet Musa alayhi salam. We salute those submissive believers who submitted Islam. Islam was Taslim. Islam actually, they were all Muslims. Islam is actually submitting to the Haqq. So those who submitted to Haqq, we respect and we salute. So, but those who turned their backs to the values and teachings of Torah in those times, their example is similar to carrying the load, just like the donkey carrying the load, not benefiting from the teachings of the Prophet Musa. They were supposed to follow Prophet Musa, right? So, a knowledge itself is not going to lead, not going to, you know, lead us towards success, unless and until practice. So this is where, when you look at the Holy Quran for the step number two, after learning knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. It's only the scholars, the ulama, who fear Allah among his servants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the knowledge, is not going to lead towards success until we have khashyat, until we have the fear, until we have the taqwa, just like the angels of Allah. وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. Angels are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearful of the punishments of Allah if we misbehave, right? So if we misbehave, Allah is not scary. Fearful means we are afraid that we get punished because Allah is adil. If we misbehave towards Allah and His teachings and get not practice, we will be punished. So the more knowledgeable a person is, he's supposed to practice more as well. The less knowledgeable a person is, will obviously practice less. So what defines in the real sense, it zeroes in on your amal and action. Because even if you learn the knowledge to a high extent, but you did not practice, so this is not guaranteed, this is no guarantee for your success. Actually, this is strongly condemned in the Holy Quran. It's like a behavior of a donkey. So knowledge itself is not going to lead us towards the success unless we practice. So actually, if you want, you can rephrase it, the most valuable person having highest qeemat in the eyes of Allah is the one who has the best amal. This is the purest description of an alim. An alim is the person who has practice over the principles and values of Islam. Now Allah says, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah raises levels, not one level. Several levels are elevated for those of the mu'mineen amongst you who have the knowledge. If a mu'min amongst you have knowledge, Allah increases him several levels. So person, a mu'min who has knowledge, because of his knowledge, he is definitely going to practice. And when he practices, the impact of the knowledge appears. I will come to the impact later on. But first, I will define this hadith which Imam Salih al Islam had said to this Sahabi, Ishaq. He said, Imam Salih al Islam said to Ishaq, Prophet Baha Karimah Kataraho, fear Allah as if you are seeing Him. Wa in kunta, see, our Imams used to see Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, whose shahadat and martyrdom we are commemorating tonight. He used to shiver. He used to sometimes, it's narrated, Imam alayhi salam used to repeat over and over again. And he fell down as unconscious. Now, my teacher was Ayatollah Jawadi, Hafidhahullah, was talking about doing tafsir of this qissa, this incident. How can a person fall down unconscious? You were so afraid. Okay, afraid of what? Afraid of the love of Allah. No. The word Allah is known to the kuffar as well. You can keep on saying Allah, 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 Allah million times. You won't get it. Unconscious. Let's do the tajziyah. Tahdeed, tajziyah. How Sajjad al-Islam fell down unconscious. Why? Because of the lafz of Allah, word of God? No. Because of the meaning of the word? No. It's not the meaning that makes you fall down unconscious. It was even the non-Muslims know the meaning of the word Allah, right? So what exactly is causing Imam Sajjad al-Islam to fall down as unconscious when he's saying you only be worshiping, you only be seeking, you know, help. So this is where my teacher used to say that what makes the Imam al-Islam unconscious is the ru'yat of Allah, the seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only then you can fall down unconscious. So he has a right to say to us, to Ishaq, and this is not restricted to Ishaq only, although Imam said to Ishaq, the Sahabi, it's applicable for all the humans to the Day of Judgment. Imam Salih al-Islam says, Hafidhaka annaka tarahu. Fear Allah as if you are seeing Him. وَإِن كُنْتَ لَا تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if you look at the logic, if you don't see Him, He sees you. And we are always under His watch, right? So وَإِن كُنْتَ تَرَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَرَاكَ. If you believe that Allah does not see you, فَقَدْ كَفَرْتَ. You denied Allah. A God who is not watchful over His creatures is not God, right? He's not God. A God, in order to be a God, he has to be basir, nazir, all seeing, all watching, 24/7, all the time. You know, since ever, forever. Not just 24/7 when the time it was created. So, Imam Ali al-Islam says, Allah alimun izla ma'lum, right? Allah is knowledgeable before there was anything to know about. Look at the ma'arif and high-level teachings of Islam. Allah was alim before there was anything to know about. Islam ma'lum. There was no ma'lum. But Allah was still alim. That kind of Allah we have believing in. So, Imam al-Islam says, if you believe that Allah does not see you, certainly you get closer. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you know that Allah is watching you, ثُمَّ فَرَزْتَ لَهُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ, then you perform the same towards Allah, فَقَدْ جَعَلْتَهُ consider Allah, put Allah among the odious, those people who are least important people who are watching you. So, this is how Ahlul Bayt have been Indigenous, a woman bina makafatain. Woman is already found in two fears. Zambun qad mada la yadri ma san'a Allahu fihi. My past sin which has passed, I don't know what happened about that. If you love forgive me, but it's still pending, still not forgiven, I don't know, right? So, wa umrun qad baqiya, and a life which is living, the remainder of my life, la yadri ma yuktabu fihi min al-ma'arif. The remainder of my life is not known, he doesn't know what is going to be written about the mahalik, the devastating things. Every sin devastates the ruhaniyat and spirituality of the person. Every sin is mahalika. The plural is mahalik. Every sin is destructive to the soul. So, la yusbih illa qa'ifan. Then Imam says that a mu'min never dawns, never enters into his mourning, except in the state of fear. وَلَا يُسْلِحُهُ إِلَّا الْخَوْفِ. And nothing can correct him except the fear. So it's now zeroing into something higher. It's not just learning. It's about practicing the knowledge. And once you practice, this shows that you fear Allah. And this practice is, the fear is of actually from practicing. So when you practice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how you practically display that you are afraid. You are qa'if of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the levels. Step number three. When we have the fear of Allah, we practice, now we deserve the rajat. After khawf, it comes the levels. The levels are defined about the level of ma'rifat of the person. If you have higher level of ma'rifat, in Farsi, in Arabic we say ma'rifat, in Farsi, shanah, pajan. If you have a ma'rifat, ma'rifat means ilm and amal, right? Simplest description, learning our duties and practicing our duties. So the more you have knowledge and practice, the higher your ma'rifat, you further learn your knowledge and duties, and you practice the knowledge of the duties, you practice those duties, you have a higher level of rule of ma'rifat. So our darajat are directly proportional to the level of our ma'rifat. For regular salihin, regular abrar, good doers, nikukaran, good doers, muslimin, it's for regular salihin, it's jannatul adn. In those paradises where they are going to live forever. This is their reward, right? They did good deeds, they deserve it. Jaza'uhum inda rabbihim, jannatul adn, tajri. Then Allah says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضِيَ عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَٰنَ. This is exactly what we are, this is similar to what we are discussing, right? So their reward in the end with Allah is gardens. They're going, where the streams are flowing underneath it, underneath the trees. They're going to live there forever. Allah is pleased with them, radiyallahu anhu wa radhi anhu, and they are pleased with him. Zalika, this is for the one who fears his Lord. The reward of fear is you will land into a paradise of eternity where the streams are flowing underneath the trees, and that's permanently yours. This is the word of those who fear Allah, the regular doers. But then my teacher says that this is for those people whose ma'rifat is of the medium level. But those who have their ma'rifat of the higher level, they don't just deserve that, they deserve more than that. And because their level of ma'rifat is higher. So their reward is the power of Allah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason what in the tafsir our scholars say, Allah says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ سُورَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Whoever fears the status of his Lord has two paradises. It's not just one, two. جَنَّتَانِ تَسْنِيَةً. So one is the regular paradise, and one is what the scholars say, the tafsir, is the Jannatul Liqa, the paradise of meeting with Allah. Just how we deserve. So the more knowledge we learn in our life, the more we distinguish Haq from Batil, the more we follow the knowledge and, you know, practice the knowledge, which displays how much fear of Allah we actually have. Our amal and action displays how much fear of Allah we have. There are people who are silent on Masjid al-Aqsa, right? And it really happened. There were Sikh people who were not just silent, but they were supporting the Tawhid. Look at the differences. So, and tomorrow when Najaf will be occupied, La Samaha Allah, and Karbala will be occupied, right? Greater Israel, we will still be Sakit. Right? Because we were Sakit over the first occupation. So this is about Amal and practice of the knowledge. And I always say to the brothers, you want to find out how much we understand the Waqat Ashura? How many people are present in Yom Kippur? Standing against the Yazids of today? How many people are ready to protest against the Zulms of today? This is a sign that we are understanding the incident of Ashura. Applying the science, applying the values of Ahlul Bayt, applying the teaching of Imam Hussein on today's world. All the mazalim, Yom Kippur is just one example, misal. All the mazalim of today, how many people are standing against the mazalim of today? There are people who are attacking the Atabat of Ahlul Bayt and Islam, Iraq and Islam. How many people are defending? There are people who are insulting Rasulullah. How many people are defending Rasulullah's izzat and sharaf? There are people who are insulting Quran. How many people are defending Quran? They are announcing to kill Ayatollah Nehru of Allah. How many people are protesting on that? Yom Kippur is one example. This is the sign how much we understand Ashura in our lives. How much we are ready to protest over the zulm and do what we can do, you know, against the zulm. So, this is the seerat of Anbiya. Even if you become a Nabi, even if you become a Nabi, you are still obliged to go to a higher prophet. Okay? Prophet Musa alayhi salam is one of the Ulul Azm. Sahib al-Shar, Sahib al-Sharia, Sahib al-Kitab, right? He is the, it's not an ordinary thing that a messenger receives the book from Allah. It's not an ordinary thing that messenger receives a Sharia specific to him. He's a very high person. Prophet Musa is not a low man. He's a very superior messenger of Allah. And one of the five greatest. And he's commanded by Allah to go to Prophet Khidr. Now the Philip doesn't have a Sharia, doesn't have his own book, but he has more ilm, an ilmun ladun, from the closeness of Allah, because of his taqarrub towards Allah. Allah gave him knowledge and wisdom. That knowledge that even Prophet Musa doesn't have. So Allah is commanding Prophet Musa to go and seek. Prophet Musa comes to Khidr alayhi salam and says, "Hal tattabi'uka ala an tu'allimani mimma 'allimta rushda?" Should I follow you upon the thing that you, upon you teaching me from what you have been taught from the rushd? So he is the imam within me, and he is teaching Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Right? In that short period of time, how much wisdom with God. This is beyond, this is something ma fawq al-shar. It's not ضد الشر, it's ma fawq al-shar. There's a fine line between two things. What Prophet Khidr alayhi salam did is not against the Sharia. It's beyond and superior than the Sharia. Right? He's not going to operate against Allah's teachings. Then the shark means someone who operates against the laws of the Sharia. Prophet Khidr is not going against the laws of the Sharia. He's doing mafok al-shar. Mafok al-shar is only known by those people whose knowledge is beyond the Sharia. Because remember, Sharia is supposed to take us towards tariqat. And we then combine the Sharia and tariqat together to take towards tariqat. Because Sharia is not the hadaf, it's not the goal of life, it's a way, it's a means, it's a tool. And we use this tool to reach tariqat, which is the bottom of the Sharia. That's not the goal either. So we're not there yet. There's a long way ahead. And then we combine the Sharia and tariqat together, so we reach the final goal, which is haqiqatul haqa'iq, the reality of all the realities, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Khidr alayhi salam was doing is beyond the comprehension of those who are on the level of Sharia. It's not against the Sharia, it's mafawq al-shar, superior than Sharia. A prophet cannot go against the values and principles of Allah, it's superior. So your knowledge has to be panoramic so you can understand what you did. Prophet Musa's knowledge was not as wide and wasi. So he did not understand. He keep on objecting, right? Until Prophet Khidr alayhi salam ended up saying, "Innaka lan tastati'a ma'iya sabra." You will never be patient with me. So the person who has less knowledge is, you know, so this is what we learned from the story, that when you have less knowledge, you stay within your limits. And you submit to the person who has higher knowledge than you. If you are serious about it, and don't consider yourself to be the final authority. Stay within your limits. And if you don't, they will part ways. Finally, Prophet Khidr parted his way. Right? This is what he said. This is talaq, separation between me and you. Three incidents were sufficient for Prophet Khidr to part his ways. So, coming back to the hadith before I come to the end, where I mentioned at the beginning of my speech, the hadith from Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam, where he says that, talking about the sign of his followers, his true followers, which is, among our true followers, the one who has knowledge about our Sharia. That's the step number one, right? At least in the beginning, we learn the Sharia and operate according to the principle of Sharia. That's how we can move forward. There are so many things to do later on, so much to learn. Or there are so many higher levels still remaining. It is the step number one. Let's follow the Sharia first. Whoever among our true followers is knowledgeable about the Sharia, alim is alim about the Sharia, about our Sharia. فَأَخْرَجَ ضُعَفَاءَ شِيَعَتِنَا, and he takes out the weak of our Shias, مِنْ ظُلْمَةِ جَهْلِهِمْ إِلَى نُورِ الْعِلْمِ, from the darkness of their ignorance towards the noon of knowledge. أَلَّذِي حَبَوْنَاهُ بِهِ, that knowledge that we have gifted that to him. جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ تَعَالَى, he will come to the day of judgment and have a crown on his head, removed from the divine light. That moon will be glittering for all those people in those grounds. followers of Ahlul Bayt will behave. They will care about knowledge. And now let's, before I come to the end of my speech, the sign. Every haqiqat has an alamat, sign. And we discover that reality through the sign. If we have the sign, that shows you have that reality. If you don't have the alamat, then it's not proven. Well, so the sign is of those who have the knowledge, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, that has been revealed to you, مِنْ رَبِّكَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. So, a person who has the knowledge, the أَثَرُ الْقَطْعِ, the confirmed sign of knowledge is that whatever is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Holy Prophet, they will, they will be submissive towards that, they will submit to that, they will accept that, they will consider it to be haq and righteousness. A person will submit towards the haq. How many people are ready to accept the haq? So the person who submits towards the haq, the person who considers the teachings of the Prophet as haq, is the one who, this is the sign, this is the sign of his knowledge. So a knowledgeable person will be able to distinguish between haq and batil, will be able to support the haq and side with the haq, and not be confused about the haq. And it's not related to how many people are with you. You may have less people, you may have more people some of the times. Number of people supporting you or not supporting you has nothing to do with you are a haq or not. You know, Quran only said that tuti' aksara man fil ard yudilluka an sabil Allah, don't obey majority on the face of earth. Aksar, the word aksar is used in Quran. The majority. Don't obey the majority on the face of earth. Yudilluka, they will mislead you an sabil Allah, from the path of Allah. So we are actually stopped from following the majority. We are supposed to think about what is haq. If that was clear in the minds of the people, they would never abandon Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was abandoned for 10 years of his imamah duration. His imamah duration is 10 years. For those 10 years, zero riwayat and narration. No narration narrated from Imam Hussein for 10 years of his imamah time. What has he called abandoning? This is the Hussein ibn Ali we talked about in Muhammad and Safar, that the Shias narrated zero narration for 10 years. Did we think one? Until Imam Hussein announces his Qiyam. Just last few months of his life. At the end of Rajab, he moves out. Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan, few months. Those few months are just few narrations. Rest of the life, no narration. This was the behavior of the Shias, the followers. You don't complain from the enemies. This is how people abandon. These are the lessons that we learn from Muhammad Hussain alayhi salam. Why? Because people were afraid from the Zalimeen, right? They were afraid from Yazid, they were afraid from Muawiyah. That duration was primarily duration of Muawiyah, right? Yazid became the ruler of this last few months. All that duration was for Muawiyah. So much is isolation that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is standing alone. He says, though wounded Rabin, if 100 are born for me, that means if I have 100 sons, I will not make name any one of them other than Ali. Muawiyah is putting a ban on the name of Imam Ali salam and asks every khatib on the minbar to start his speech with la'nat on Imam Ali salam. And Imam Hussein says, if I have 100 sons, I will not name any one of them other than Ali. Because there's the power standing alone on the top. You care how many people are with you. There's nobody with you. There's a handful of people. So this is our lesson, brothers and sisters, that we learned from Karbala. And this kind of father will have a son like Ali ibn Hussein, Sayyidu Sajidin, alayhi salam. And now our Imam is being taken as captive, tied up in chains. Tied up in chains. And not just the chains, but the steel collar with those horns in the collar. And Sahal As-Sa'idi says, I was traveling towards Baitul Muqaddas, and on the way I was passing by to Dimashq, and I saw the situation that the city was decorated. And I said to ask some people, why are they decorating the city? This is not their faith in Islam. And someone told me there was a rebel who rebelled against Khalifa Yazid, and his family is being brought as captives today. So this is why the city is decorated. And as I was talking to the person, I saw the caravan coming towards Dimashq, heading closer towards the city. And I saw a strange caravan. There are some heads on top of the spears. And there is a weak person walking in front of that kafila, in front of that caravan. And there are some ladies without the hijab. Look at the strange kafila and caravan. He moves forward and he goes towards Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He did not recognize the Imam. And he says to the Imam alayhi salam, would you introduce yourself? He says, Imam. Imam says, looks towards Sahel. Sahel, you did not recognize us? He said, I was so embarrassed that this person is calling me by name. And I still did not recognize him. And he requested the Imam to please introduce himself. And Imam says, Anabnu Makkata wal Mina, Anabnu Zamzama was Safa, Anabnu Muhammad al Mustafa, Anabnu Ali al Murtama, Anabnu Fatima al Zahra. Imam Sajjad is introducing himself with such a unique introduction. Sahel drops himself on the feet of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Mawla, what happened? Mawla, he started to cry. He started, obviously he's a Shia. He started to cry on Imam Sajjad and this situation. And is there anything I can do for you? And Imam asks him to arrange for some cloth. And he takes the amama off. And he folds the cloth and presents to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And Mawla said to him, whom are you giving? The person whose hands are tied up? He said, Mawla, obviously the hands of Imam Sajjad are already tied up. So he cannot grab the cloth himself. So Mawla, he said, Mawla, let me know what I am supposed to do with the cloth. Imam says, raise the collar and put the cloth under it. The collar that Imam is wearing in the neck is the steel collar with those thorns poking into his body. And as Sahal ibn As-Sa'idi says, when I raised the steel collar to put the cloth, I found the whole back of the Imam was full of blood. Blood which is coming out from his body. So this is how the Sahal is crying over the situation. Now they have asked the Shimr La'natullah alayh to take the caravan from a place which is less cloudy. But Shimr La'natullah alayh is intentionally taking the caravan from a place where is the largest crowd standing there. So when someone asks Imam Sajjad which of the player of the Masaib and Musibat was more hardest for you, my Mawla replied back, Asham, الشام الشام. See, this is the place where Ahlul Haram are taken from the bazaar. And there are so many people standing and watching the daughters of Ali and Fatima walking through the bazaar. You know, this is such a painful thing for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And later we find that Imam Sajjad used to cry for 35 years on Imam Hussein. 35 years. And one of the ashab came to Imam Sajjad and said, Mawla, how long are you going to cry? And Imam replied, you did not do a fair thing. You know, in other words, my prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, his son, he has 11 children. You know, 12 children, one of the children were away from him for a while. He cried so much, his eyes became wide. So now I have 18 Banu Hashim slaughtered in front of Imam alayhi salam. So he said, Mawla, but Shahadat, you know, Shahadat is your miras. This is something that all of you haven't been, have the Shahadat. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam replies back to him, they are the ladies taken out without the hijab. The ladies taken out is also that. Is that also the miras? This is where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, whenever he used to go out, whenever he used to walk out, and he used to see that in a butcher shop, a butcher is slaughtering an animal. He used to ask the butcher, did you provide water to the animal? And they used to reply to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Yabda Rasulullah, we are Muslims. Islam has said so much to give water before slaughtering the animal. This is where my father used to recall his father Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Qutila Abi Atshana. My father was killed thirsty whenever water was brought in front of Imam. Before drinking the water, he used to recall his father. Qutila Abi Atshana.
وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد